Coming up today, Mr. Player Hater brings you two conversations that he had recently with Butterfly Jones and with Big B. Let's get things started with Mr. Player Hater's question for Big B.
Well, like, what gives you the right, not just you, but you and your team, the right to critique other podcasts when you're in the same field? You know, you're a podcaster yourself, but yet still you listen to other shows and you critique this shit, and I guess you sort of tell them if their shit sucks. Yeah, what gives you the right to do that?
Well, we don't really get into the business of telling people that their show may be bad. What we will do is we will try to give a good cross sample of your show, and we will present it to our listeners. And in doing so, we have sort of a rating system that we've sort of kind of adjusted and tweaked to make it as fair as possible since we've started this journey on the show. And on this show that we're talking about now is called Recap. And we actually do more of a review rather than a critique. And what I feel is in our review, we'll say in the review some of the things that we may have been uncomfortable or didn't like so much that got us to the point of giving you the rating that we gave you. But in terms of actually just flat out critiquing and saying, hey, you're doing this wrong, I don't like this, you should cut this out, we don't really get into the business of that. I mean, people, you know, you pay for your airtime, you do what you do, and that's what you do. We're just trying to bring an audience to what you're doing. And in doing so, we're going to say, hey, Deep Show Recap audience, this is what we thought of it. Here it is. Here's a snippet of it. Here's some things that they said. You make your decision on whether you want to go to this. And it's sort of like not very much different than what a movie reviewer would do. Say, hey, I saw this movie. This is what I thought of it. As someone that follows me, if you're kind of taking my review through my eyes, if you're looking through my eyes to see what I saw, this is what I saw. But we definitely want to leave it up to you to make the decision on if this is something that you want to follow or not. And we also, every show that we do, we reach out to the person, say, hey, we recapped your show. Please take a listen to it. And if there's something that we got horribly wrong, if there's something that we got spot on right that you want to expound upon, we definitely want you to come on and chop it up with us. And maybe you can even tell more, you know, because we have a limited time and we can only bring so much to our listeners. So why don't you come on our show and break it down? Or why don't you come on our show and say, hey, Mean, Big B, you know, you guys totally, you know, dropped the ball on this one, because this is the kind of show we are. We're not this, we're not that.
All right, so how'd you get into podcasting? Why did you get into podcasting?
I got into podcasting, kind of funny. I had just gone through a breakup, and the person that I broke up with had gotten to another relationship and basically got a dose of her own medicine. Basically got the shit that she gave me in our relationship, she got it right back in her next relationship. And it kind of better our friendship, because we were able to talk about it. Unfortunately, her situation kind of got a little out of hand, maybe a little bit abusive. And so she asked if she could crash out at my house for a week or two. I said, no problem. Long story short, one day I came home from work, miserable as fuck, and just trying to think of some other avenues of what I would want to do. And she asked me, she was like, you know, if there's anything you could do, what would it be? And I said, I would love somehow to get an avenue to radio, whether it be in front of or behind the mic. front. I said, I just don't have any way of, I don't have any connects. You know, people that I did know are no longer in the business or they're not in the area. So she said, why don't you do your own thing? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And that's, she sort of introduced me to the podcasting thing. So after I looked at it, I was like, well, shoot, I DJ. So I have half the equipment. So it was just a matter of going out, getting a couple more pieces, put it together. And, you know, I picked my crew of who I wanted to be with. I definitely didn't want to do a solo thing off the break. So I originally started with myself, my brother, and my best friend from work. And it's sort of grown and evolved. I've added two young ladies. My brother, he went on other ventures. Added another gentleman because of career situations. He had to move on, but he pops in from time to time. Whenever we need him, he's always available. Just can't make the weekly commitment. And that's where we are. Through a friend, I was introduced to Stitch. I've been going a little bit over 4 years now. And I guess the first year or so, about the first year, we weren't on Stitcher. And once we got on there, it was like, wow. I honestly was so naive. I thought that maybe I might have been one of 50 to 100 people doing podcasts. And so I found out about Stitcher, and I'm like, Jesus, Lord, there's 20,000 shows on here. So that's how it all came about.
I stray. Hey, let me ask you something, because something you just mentioned that I found interesting. And would you be willing to admit that, like, a podcast, since we're talking about podcasts, is like indicative of a person's personality? I'll give you an example. Much like myself, I don't hang out with a bunch of niggas. I don't do the whole crowd thing, the club thing, and all of that. And that's why I chose to do a podcast by myself. Plus, you know, I started businesses with other partners that failed. And I just realized that if I want to do something right, the way I feel is right, what's best for me personally is to do it myself as much as possible. Just do as much as possible by myself. And if I get to the point where I need to bring somebody on for a little assistance in the future, then I can. But at least initially, I'm going to do this shit on my own and create it the way I want to create it. And for you, what you just said, maybe you're the type of dude, and I'll have you explain, I don't want to characterize you in front of you without knowing you, but maybe you're the type of dude who felt most comfortable, like you said, you didn't want to do it alone with, like, other people. So you feel more comfortable having other people around as opposed to just doing it solo.
Well, again, initially, I always had a feeling of wanting to do a solo show. I just didn't want to start off with it. I had a situation where my brother and I, wherever we would go to, whether it would be a party or if, you know, he and I worked in the club scenes, doing VIP security or club security. We've done that for over 20 years. So we know a lot of people. And I noticed one year, I can't remember which Super Bowl it was, but it was within the last 5 years, and it was like to date it was the best Super Bowl that I think we've had. It was so action-packed down to the minute. But I noticed, and actually the person's house that we were at, we were watching it. I mean, they had an elaborate setup. I mean, they had a 60-inch on one wall, 50-inch on another. I mean, it was just a great setup. But I noticed everybody was sitting around my brother and I, and was just asked, just like, yo, tell him, remember that day when this happened? Tell him about this, or remember this, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, here it is, one of the best Super Bowls we've had to date is being played, and everybody's sitting around wanting to hear me and him talk about shit. So I kind of just took a step back and was just looking. I'm like, look at this room. Everybody, except for the kids that are running around, everybody's paying attention to what we're saying. So I wanted to feed off that energy. I felt he and I definitely had a story to tell. He and I definitely had our own unique delivery. And so I definitely knew I wanted him on board. And then, you know, my friend Doc, he has this sort of comedic way about him. it's funny, he's an older guy, so some of his jokes are dated, and it's kind of funny how he feels some shit that ain't funny no more is still funny, and blah, blah, blah. So the way we kind of just bounced off each other was just kind of comedic in its own thing. So I was like, I think the three of us will make a good start. And I wanted to do that so I can pull that energy from both of those guys that I felt hard. And, you know, I thought it would be a good package. You know, thank the Most High, it worked.
This is Black from Black and Tan Show, listening to the Player Haters Podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find Black or Tan at blackandtanshow.com. You can follow our Facebook page, or on Instagram, or on Twitter. I mean, wherever you need to find us, you'll find us. Automatic, iTunes, Stitcher. Later.
The conversation continues, as Butterfly Jones explains why Mr. Player Hater has the mind of a master player. Let's listen in.
Well, you're one of those guys that I warn the women who follow me about, because what I found was a lot of women that were trying to follow my advice were trying to take men like you with your mentality and your experiences with women, and they were trying to use basic principles of game and flip you and game and tame you. And then they would come to me and say, well, you know, I've been trying to, like, basically run game and I'm failing all over the place. What is my issue? And when they would describe to me the kind of guy they were dealing with, I had to let them know, you can't be at a basic level of game, not have the principles under your belt and be like a master of them, and then get a guy who I call it deep in the game. You know, basically a player's mindset is what I feel that you have. You can't take a guy like that and use some basic, you know, fundamental principles on him and think he's going to fall for what you're displaying. A kind of guy like you, only a woman like myself, who's deep in the game, can kind of, I think, play with. And I'm not saying I'm going to game and tame you. I'm just using us as an example. Somebody with enough experience and someone who has mastered the principles to kind of know how to get in your head. You're not an easy one. You see what I'm saying? Because your experiences with women and your natural ability to not attach easily makes you hard to catch. You see what I'm saying? And I call that a master player. That's somebody who you really have to know what you're doing, or you're going to wind up getting your feelings hurt as a female trying to game and tame them.
Yeah, all I have to say is you're exactly right.
I mean, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it, because I've met a lot of guys like you. That's why I say I've been blessed, not only to, you know, have the game in me, not on me, but also to be around some real masterful players. Not necessarily men who were walking around telling everybody they were players or obviously players, but just their headspace was just player. And to be able to watch them and some of them becoming very close with me and letting me know their thought processes, I think that, you know, the blessing that I've had is to be able to know how to flip the game or run game on those types of men. But that's like final level for a female player. That's final level. You don't want to touch a guy like, you know, you, a female. You don't want to go after a guy like a player hater like you unless your game is tip-top. Unless you've mastered the principles. Because as I said earlier, you would just wind up getting your feelings hurt because you don't care enough to get involved. You know what I mean? Like you just said, you don't care enough. And also, you have other options. I say in a lot of my blog posts, I say in a lot of my books, that one of the keys to playing a man is he has to be invested in you emotionally for you to play him. You can't get a man who doesn't care and think you're going to run game on him.
All right, straight. Hey, so let's do this. I do a segment on my podcast called Raw Conversations, and that's when I have, like, sexually explicit type conversations and also personal type shit and just bounce questions around and talk about different things. You open for that?
Yeah, sure.
Ice Trey, so let me ask you this. Since you just finished describing the way I am, as far as the way you perceive me, you were pretty close on a lot of that. And then you mentioned what you just said as far as women have to do certain things, a certain type of ways, to maybe, not even, let's just go away from me, but just like to sort of draw guys in. Like, what would be some of those things that, let's say, you would do just like sort of draw guys in?
To game and tame a guy like you?
Okay, yeah, let's stay on me then. Okay, yeah, game and tame a guy like you.
Well, that's what you are. That's what you described to me, so I got to keep it 100. You know what I mean? It's nothing but respect for that. Like I said, the first thing that a woman has to do is recognize if she is that guy's type.
No. Hold on. No. I'm talking about you.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about like a woman. No, I'm talking about you. Like, what could you do to make me want that pussy so bad?
Well, like I said, I still feel that, first of all, I have to be your type. You know, I have to appeal to you. And if I don't appeal to you physically, maybe I can appeal to you emotionally. Maybe I can, you know, provide you with something that other women haven't given you. I've met a lot of guys like you, and they have a lot of women. They, you know, get a lot of sex. Dating for them is very easy. So when they meet women, it's like nothing, you know. It's like, okay, just another one. And what I've been able to do successfully is provide that peace that they haven't gotten from other women. And one of the things I find with a lot of men like you is the intellectual stimulation. A lot of men don't get that from women. Women come in to the situation on a sexual tip. You know, I'm going to show him sexually what I can do. Or they come physically with their bodies, and I'm going to show him how big my titties are, and I'm going to show him how nice and round my ass is. But you've seen it before. You've had dimes, you've had tens, you've had all of that. So how do I appeal to you in a way that no other woman has? Maybe you're not used to being nurtured. I used to pride myself on, I used to tell all my friends, you know, I'll have them in tears before the end of the week. I used to be good at getting men to cry, getting them to become vulnerable in front of me. That was part of my game, because if I can make you cry, if I can make you vulnerable in front of me in a way that you're not with other women, then you belong to me. Now I can gain and tame you, because now I gain the leverage in the situation. So that's what, those are two of the things that I would use with you or a guy like you, is appeal to that. And you're going to tell me what you're missing in our conversation. I'm going to structure our first conversation to find out what you've missed, what you didn't get from these other chicks, what I can give you that's going to blow your mind.
You can download all of the latest episodes from Mr. Player Hater on iTunes. Search for the Player Hater and make sure to subscribe to the podcast. You can follow on Twitter at Mr. Player Hater. And you can leave a voicemail message by calling 646-755-9844.